Good morning. I got a lot of time today, so we'll see if that's a good thing or not. Today we're going to continue in our Old Testament texts. Pastor Danny has been preaching through the Old Testament this summer, and we've heard messages from Amos, Isaiah, Deuteronomy, Job, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Not always the most common books of the Bible to hear our Sunday sermons from, but it's been really meaningful, and it's helpful for us to understand that God is working through the Old Testament into New Testament. It's the same God. And we're going to hear some of that today. Last week we heard from Amos, and we heard about how important it is that God doesn't leave us alone, that he provides for us and is our righteousness, and that idea is going to come through again in our message today. We're going to keep building on that, and we're going to be in Jeremiah, so we get a new prophet we're going to talk about or hear from. But first, if there are any kids that want to come up front, I'm going to try a kid's message, and all right, we got a couple of older kids today. I like that. All right. All right, this is great. Okay, I have a question for you guys. The first one is, do you have any rules at your house where you live? You have rules.
I was saying toilet word words unless you're on the toilet.
Okay.
And no swearing.
No swearing. That's a good rule. Yep. So I had rules growing up too. Are there consequences if you break the rules in your house?
Like, no.
No? If you break the rules, it's fine?
No.
No? What happens if you break the rules?
It's not fine.
It's not fine. Exactly, right? You might have punishment or consequences if you break the rules, right? So when I was in high school, a long time ago, I had a curfew. And a curfew was the time I had to be home on a school night, otherwise I would be in trouble. And my curfew was 10 p.m. So I had to be home by 10 p.m. on a school night. And if I broke that rule, then I would get grounded, which meant that I couldn't go over to a friend's house, which I didn't want to break that rule. So it was good encouragement to make sure I was home by 10 on a school night. Also, I like sleeping, so it wasn't that hard. Another rule that I remembered from growing up is we would go visit my grandma in New Jersey. That's a long drive. It was like a 16 or 18-hour drive growing up. So it was a long time in the car, and we'd go to grandma's house, and grandma had this great old little house, and it was always clean, and grandma's rules were don't touch the walls. She had just painted new white paint on her walls when we were little. This was a rule all the way through, like, in college, right? So it was don't touch the walls at grandma's house. But different than, like, my curfew-breaking rule, right? If I broke curfew, I'd get punished. What grandma would do is if we didn't touch the walls, she would give us a $5 bill when we left. And like that, my brothers and I all remember from going to grandma's house, we'd always get a $5 bill. Right? And it was fun because even our younger cousins remember the same thing. So grandma's house, don't touch the walls, you get $5. Right? So we followed that rule. That was a good one. We got a blessing for that rule. And we're going to hear a little bit about that today in our message. So God has something that he's established with his people called a covenant. And he did that after he led them out of Egypt. And he gave them a whole bunch of rules, and he said, if you follow these rules, you'll be blessed, and you'll have a whole bunch of good stuff happen to you. But if you don't follow the rules, all these bad things are going to happen to you. And the people didn't always follow the rules. But we're going to hear a little bit about that today. And it's the same for us. But the good thing is, even though we can't follow the rules, God has given us Jesus, who followed the rules on our behalf, so that we still get blessings. All right? That's our quick message today. I have something for you to color if you would like. It is Moses getting the rules from God. If you would like, here you go, here you go. Thank you very much for coming up front. The big guys don't want any? All right, fine. All right, and that's our message. So as I said today, we're going to hear from Jeremiah. I'll give a little background on Jeremiah, because I really wasn't that familiar with it. So it was a fun chance to prepare for Jeremiah this week. It's a long book, one of the longer books of the prophets in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah's ministry took place in Judah, which was the southern kingdom, towards the end of that kingdom's existence, I'll say. We've heard from Isaiah and Amos and some of the other prophets, Hosea, Joel. They're speaking to the northern kingdom earlier in the timeline of Israel. So if you remember your history of Israel, David led the United Kingdom, his son Solomon did, and then after Solomon dies, they split into a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom is Israel, the southern kingdom is Judah. The northern kingdom had a whole bunch of prophets get sent to them because they pretty much were always evil all the time. They had no good kings, no good leaders, and they're carted off by Assyria in 722. So they ignored all the prophets. We heard that last week. When Amos was prophesying to the king, they just don't want to hear it. They're like, get rid of the messenger, right? The northern kingdom, they were gone by 720 BC. We're about 100 years after that in the southern kingdom with Judah, and that's where Jeremiah is prophesying. So he's now prophesying to the people of Judah, honestly bringing them some similar messages to what people in Israel were hearing 100 years before this. Jeremiah's ministry takes place over 40 years. It's during the final 40 years of the kingdom of Judah, and there's four different kings that he's even prophesying to. So he's prophesying to Josiah, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah, maybe, if I got the names right. I forgot to write them down, so you can feel free to look that up. But it makes the book somewhat difficult to understand because it's this long time period, and Josiah was actually a pretty good king. He found the law and kind of tried to help guide people along the right path again. And his sons and their successors, they continue down the wrong path. So we've got a lot of prophecy and a lot of encouragement in the book of Jeremiah to like, hey, get yourself figured out, get back on the right track, and they don't. And it's difficult to sometimes figure out which part of Jeremiah is being spoken to which king, because it's not always clear, and it's not necessarily chronological. So at a high level, I'm just going to give my summary of where we're at in Jeremiah. So our text today is from chapter 23. If you were reading before that, you've got a couple of major things that are happening. The first one is Jeremiah is spending time telling the people of Judah, hey, you're screwing up, stop it, or else there's going to be consequences. He's using stronger language, and he's specific on the consequences and the specific on the sins and the ways that the people are screwing up. But that's what he's telling them. Repent, and you can still avoid the consequences. And then we get to somewhere around chapter 11, and Jeremiah really starts to break down the covenant for the people. So he's reminding them of the covenant God established with them through Moses after he led them out of Egypt. And that covenant, one of the really big things in that covenant is when God gives them the law. He gives them the Ten Commandments and gives them all the specifics on how they're supposed to live their lives. And he says in that covenant, if you do all these things, the land you live in will be blessed and things will go well with you. But if you don't, all these curses are going to happen to you. And if you go back to Deuteronomy and read it, and I remember studying this in Sunday school here, we get like two paragraphs of all the blessings, and it's like two pages of curses. I mean, like, God couldn't be more clear with his people. Follow these things I'm telling you, things will go well, and if you don't, things are going to go poorly. Jeremiah's prophecy in chapter 11 in our book is saying the same thing. He's reiterating for them that, look, these are the consequences that are going to happen. And Jeremiah gets specific. You're going to get carted out of the promised land. As we continue reading, the prophecies in Jeremiah change from repent and you can avoid the consequences to just here's the consequences that are happening. It's too late. These things are going to happen to you. And Jeremiah feels the weight of that message, and you see a couple of times where he's even lamenting the fact that he has to bring this message. He's lamenting the fact that his people are sinners and not meeting God's expectations or requirements, and that there's this burden that he has to be the messenger. God encourages Jeremiah through that. However, despite the impending curses, punishment that the people are going to receive, we get to our text today in chapter 23, and we're starting to see now that even though God is punishing the people for their sins, rightly so, he still loves them, and he is going to still preserve them and provide. And that's what we're going to get to unpack in our message today. So if you'd stand, we're going to read from chapter 23 in Jeremiah, verses 1 through 6. As the rain's coming down. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Dear Lord, please be with us this morning as we get to hear your word from the prophet Jeremiah and help us to understand your message to your people at that time and what that means for us today. Thank you for your grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat if you would like. All right, so our passage begins with a word of woe or judgment to the shepherds. So my first question is, who are the shepherds? So we know a shepherd is somebody who's taking care of the sheep out in a pasture. They're generally watching over the flock, making sure they're safe, making sure they're getting where they're supposed to go, that the wolves don't get the sheep. If a sheep goes missing, they go grab them, you know, all the good things that shepherds potentially do. So they're leading the sheep. So the shepherds in our passage today, really it's fair to say that they are the leaders of the people of Judah. And the leaders of the people of Judah would have been the kings and the priests primarily, maybe the prophets. But really it's the kings and the priests that this is addressed to in terms of who the shepherds are. And we hear to them, it's woe. Right? So that means bad news for you, the leaders. Question would be, why? They are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, is what we hear. So how are they doing that? So we're going to unpack a little bit on what this means. So if you look back on early portions of the book of Jeremiah, the answer is really clear. We see lots of the ways that the leaders are causing the people to go astray. We see that the leaders are guilty of allowing or even encouraging and teaching the people to follow false gods or idols. They don't lead them properly. They cease to read the law and the word of God to the people. And just in general, we see that there is a lack of faithfulness in the leadership, and that is coming through into the people of Israel. And one of the things that I always wrestled with a little bit, I guess, as I would hear these passages, and you'd study the people of Israel, and you see, like, hey, there's a good king, so they all follow the good king, and then, like, 30 years later, his son comes in and doesn't follow the ways of the Lord, and then all the people start worshiping idols. And I was always like, why does everybody just so blindly follow the leader? Don't they know? I mean, like, do they just listen to the people? Why aren't they reading their Bible? Which probably shows a little bit of lack of history on my part if I would ask that question, because people didn't have a Bible. People couldn't read back in that time. So it was really, really important that the leaders were the ones that are teaching and training the people in the ways of the Lord. When we think about literacy, you know, the scrolls were written down, the Ten Commandments were written down, but it's not like everybody had a bunch of books available to them. Tobias wants to go to the library today to pick up a couple of books, right? It's a bike ride away, and we've got thousands of books available to us. If you want, everybody today has access to everything, all the history of knowledge of the world in your phone, right? Not really, but kind of. We've got tons of access today, and this would not have happened back then. So people were reliant on the leaders to bring them the message of truth. And that's why, as the leaders fell away from faithfulness, the people would likewise fall away from faithfulness. And God knew this. And it's one of the reasons when he established the Mosaic Law, one of the parts of the Mosaic Law was that this law was to be read to the people by the priests. And the priests are to teach it to the people, and the fathers are to teach it to their sons. So the people are to come to understand it through hearing, because even though I hadn't thought about it before, people couldn't read. They didn't have it available to them. It's not like they were going home at night when they didn't have a light to turn on anyway and reading a scroll in the dark. They were going to the temple. That would be where they would hear the word of the Lord. And God was specific. He had specific festivals at times of year they were supposed to read the law. The leaders of Judah were failing in this charge. They were not doing this. And that is why the people are falling away, and it is why the leaders of Judah were going to be punished, and the people as well. So we see in our passage, they're going to be taken away, and the leaders will be punished. At the same time, we see immediately in our text today that as this punishment is happening, God says that he himself will gather a remnant, and he will bring this remnant back from where they have been scattered, and he will give them new shepherds who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid nor terrified, and nobody will be missing. So we see in this text in Jeremiah that we've been hearing a lot of punishment earlier in the book, and now we're starting to transition into also this message of hope that God provides. He will provide for his people even through punishment. His punishment is not everlasting. And it's particularly stark if you go and read Jeremiah for yourself. So I would encourage you to do that this week, is go and spend a little time in the book of Jeremiah. And just even if it's just reading up through our text today, you'll get this sense of weight that is in the first part. And I haven't read through the second half yet, so I can't say exactly how much that will continue. I know that there's a lot of good prophecy and really establishing a new covenant to come in the second half of Jeremiah. But if you read the first 22 chapters, you see this weight of punishment, and now we finally start to see some hope coming this morning. And it's just a blessing for us to hear. So he has reminded the people of the Mosaic Covenant, where God commands obedience and gives them blessings or curses. The people, if in the first part of the book, they don't obey. They know they'll be removed to a distant land in the north, but the words fall on deaf ears. And the judgment that God is going to give them is imminent for them, and it's deserved. So the people that are hearing the words today, or would have been hearing the words of Jeremiah in chapter 23, one of the interesting things to me is that there's this message of hope, but it's honestly not going to be for the people that are hearing the words, because they are going off to Babylon. If you know your history, Babylon's going to come in, and they're going to take all the leaders and all the important people from Israel away. They're going to knock all the buildings down, and Israel's going to be a pretty desolate place, or Judah's going to be a pretty desolate place. But there is a remnant that's coming back. It's not anybody that heard this prophecy directly from Jeremiah. But it is the people, maybe the kids of the people in the prophecy that are hearing this. They will return. And not just they will return. And this is where our text starts to get to become really good news for us. But the Lord will provide for them, and he will raise up one who will be their righteousness. And this is great news, even though they didn't understand it. We see here a little bit of the fulfillment of the prophecy the covenant that God established with Abraham and David. So we talked a little about the covenant he established with Moses, which was, if you follow these things, good will happen to you. If you don't, bad will happen to you. And that's a lot of what we see in the Old Testament history of the Jewish people. But we also have covenants that God established with Abraham, where he says, all the people of the world will be blessed through you, and I will make your descendants numerous. And he didn't attach a bunch of requirements into that covenant. It's a divine commitment that God just says, I will do this. Likewise, he says the same thing to David, where I will establish an everlasting line of kings through you. The Davidic line of kings. So God has established a people and a line of rulers that are to come. And that's what we start to get we start to see God still fulfilling his commitment and covenant with his people now. The Jewish people did not hold up their end of the bargain on the Mosaic covenant, nor would we. I don't want to be indicting on them, because we'll talk about that in a little bit. But God still intends to bless his people, and he intends to bless all people. He still intends to fulfill his promises to Abraham, and that all people will be blessed to him, and that he will establish a line through David. We see that in our text when it talks about this, I will raise up a righteous branch from David, or from David's line, depending on the translation that you have in our text today. So despite the failings of the people, God is going to establish righteousness through them. He still requires righteousness, and he knows his people can't do it. They've proven that. He's given them a long time to try to do that. So he's going to do it himself. And this is good news for us today as well, because we're unable to be our own righteousness. We're unable to meet the requirements that God has for us. God's holiness and his requirements for holiness haven't changed. God isn't different in the New Testament than he is in the Old Testament, expecting in the Old Testament that people needed to meet this standard, and now in the New Testament, no, you don't have to. His requirements for holiness are still, you have to be holy. He requires perfection. The difference is that he has met those requirements through Jesus. He has done it on our behalf. The lasting righteousness that we need can't come from ourselves. It only comes from the branch of David, from Jesus, through what he's done. And Jeremiah identifies this in the text for us. We're told in verses 5 through 7, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. We know today that that righteous branch is Jesus. He is our righteousness. As people, we no longer depend on our ability to follow a covenant or follow the rules to be righteous, but the Lord himself is our righteousness. Sometimes as we're reading Old Testament texts, it's difficult to understand how they translate to us today. It's one of the things, I think, if you read through Jeremiah, it's sometimes difficult for us to figure out how do these prophecies to an ancient people that were in a specific time and place, how do they matter to our lives today? How is it relevant? Our text today is useful because we have a more clear answer in this piece. It's relevant to us because we see that God still requires righteousness. And that's an important idea for us to understand, is that God has not changed from old to new. He is a righteous, holy God. And he has expectations for his people that we are his people. He expects and requires us to be holy. We also get to see that he loves and provides for his people, and that also applies to us today. So we get to take with us the understanding that God will provide, and not just will provide, but how, because we have the new covenant, we have the New Testament, so we get to understand in this reference to this righteous branch that that is pointing to Jesus. And we get to appreciate in a way today that the hearers of the original message wouldn't have understood, that Jesus is our righteousness. Similar to the Old Testament times where there was a requirement to follow the law and God would send his messengers to remind his people to follow the law, we get reminders of our need to be righteousness as well. God provides that for us. He provides that in his word. He provides that through Christian fellowship, through the nudging of the Holy Spirit. So we still have an encouragement to live out our lives as God wants us to live. However, we know we don't have to do that to gain his favor. We know we have his favor. And we see that focus in Jeremiah. There's a focus on repentance, that if we repent of our sins and put our hope in the Lord, our righteousness is given to us. Jeremiah speaks of this coming up in chapter 31 of a new covenant that will be revealed. And our repentance leads to faith in Jesus and then trusting that he will fulfill all the requirements on our behalf. Jesus is our final shepherd. He is our full shepherd, our leader, our branch of David's line, and our righteousness. So as we hear our message today and we think through those things, how it applies to us, It's a chance for us to reflect on our own lives and to consider how and what we need to repent of, how we haven't followed God's requirements, how in thought, word, and deed we have sinned against God by what we have done and left undone. Those are words of confession we have in communion every Sunday, or every communion Sunday, and I always am moved by them because they are all-inclusive. I think it's really easy sometimes as Christians to be like, you know, I didn't do that, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. See, I'm pretty good, right? But when we look at what God's requirements are and what we are to be repenting of, it's not just what we didn't do, right? Look, I don't have to repent of not killing some. I didn't kill somebody this week. I'm pretty good, right? But I didn't help anybody this week. God wants us to help people, right? So, like, we have an unlimited number of things where we fail to meet God's requirements, and we need to confess those things. The good news, though, is that they are forgiven, and the holy requirements of God have been fully met through Jesus Christ. That the lack of our ability to meet his requirements in everything we think, everything we do, everything we say, both for the good and the ill, has all been covered by Jesus' work. So we can repent and give thanks and be strengthened in our faith by the truth that these requirements for holiness have been met in us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can go about our week in joy and thanksgiving for the forgiveness that we receive. Amen.